I saw somebody new up there tonight, didn't you? Yeah, Cricket. Awesome. The future Mrs. Tom Bland, amen. Works are in the making, amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, amen. We want people to come to Westmoreland if we have to marry them or have them or whatever, adopt them, bribe them. Whatever we got to take, we want to fill the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. I'm glad the Royal Rangers had a good trip. Brother Pastor Jonathan sent me several pictures on my phone so I could put them on Facebook. I ain't had a chance to do it. Brother Philip, give us a quick report from, was it Powwow? Now, Brother Jerry said y'all were having camp meeting down there, so I'm not sure all that happened, but he meant Powwow camp, but he said Falcon camp meeting. So just let us know what happened. You probably did have some camp meeting.
We did have a little bit of camp meeting, but it was good. This was the annual Powwow. We had, I'm guessing, 150 or so, which was good. And there's a good spirit there. Lots of things happen. I think I might have a new commander on my side. So, Brother Nathan went along with us with Anderson, and I think he's hooked. He has done some work with Boy Scouts before, but that, you know. And I got another slot in my staff field today, which I've been looking somebody for 3 years. Got a volunteer. Oh, that's good. But what happened last night at the council fire, it's hard for me to describe. Had trouble last year. We had an awesome praise band come in and do the praise and worship for us, and they wouldn't come back this year. And for various reasons. I mean, it's not they didn't like us. But this year, y'all are all familiar with Brother Chris Thompson, our former bishop at the conference here. His son, Jonathan, I know his sons pretty well, all three of them. And Jonathan, I was talking to Nathan. Nathan and I talk pretty frequently because he helps me look after things around the camp up there. And I was telling him my dilemma about the praise band. And he said, well, you know, Jonathan might be willing to do that. I said, well, would you ask him for me? Well, he asked him. I didn't know it when he asked him. I was going to try to go ahead and talk to him, because I hadn't talked to him in a year or more. He was in Paris, France. So he got back this past week and came on down and did praise and worship. And the two of them did awesome praise and worship. And then Brother R.L. Downing delivered a hard-to-describe, an awesome message on commitment. He used the Rechabites in the Bible. He had the prophet Jeremiah go in and get the Rechabites and put wine down and said, here, drink. And they wouldn't. And why? Because their grandfather told them not to.
That's right.
He said, if those guys will do that because, you know, their grandfather told them not to, what about God? What do you do when God tells you to or do something or not do it? Because that was a whole thing, and it was an awesome message. We had a crowd of boys to come down and just... We had a ministering time in the altar last night. It was really great.
Amen. Praise God. Our North Carolina Conference Commander, give him a big hand and honor him tonight. Thank you, Commander. God bless you. You going to return the salute? Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is working. Amen. The Lord is working. I did enjoy Kenny Williamson. Now, you've got to understand, when a pastor calls an evangelist to come to a church, or in my case, an associate pastor, Pastor Jerry and I and the staff, you know, there's always a little bit of tension, you know, just hoping it'll go well and just, you know, you've prayed about it. You really don't know the preacher that well. You just know of him and you feel good about it and blah, 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 blah. And every now and then, sometimes things kind of don't go exactly like you. I'm going to tell you, it was exactly and better. Amen, Pastor Jerry. It was dynamite. Amen. Praise God. He blessed my soul. And so it just, and I say that from a personal standpoint. Amen. Because I'm not saying it as a pastor. I'm just saying it as Ricky Nelms. My cup runneth over. Amen. And I tell you what, the Lord has been moving Easter and all of these services. It's also good to see Dr. Moore here tonight and his first lady. Give them another welcome tonight. I'm so glad they're here. I want you to stand with me tonight, and I think probably what I'm like to try to do is whatever the pastor preaches on Sunday morning, I feel like that's what the Lord's speaking to us, and so I'll just try to compliment that or come behind it, or if the Lord leads another way. And so he was talking about the deeper walk, and he was talking about salvation this morning. And so I just want to kind of compliment that with the title of the message tonight is The Mystery of the New Birth. Now, I know that on Sunday night that I'm really preaching to the choir. Amen. And I thought maybe some folks might be here. Sometimes on Sunday night we have some folks that we're trying to get solid in their faith, and I don't see some of them here tonight. So the Lord knew who would be here. And so when a message comes across like this, and you already are experience it or a part of it, then it's what Peter says, I'm just stir up your mind by way of remembrance. And it's just every now and then a good time to reflect and think and appreciate. This is what it's all about. It's because he died on the cross and he saved our soul and we're on our way to heaven. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about the mystery of the new birth. And we're going to read, and I normally don't read a lot of passages. I like to read one and expound on it. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the great third chapter of the book of John, in verses 1 through 9. If you're glad to be here, say amen. When you're there, say amen. There was a man of the Pharisees, and every time I read this passage, T.L. Byrd comes to my mind, my mentor, my father in the Lord. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I met him when I was 20 years old, and was with him for 17 years, and he could quote this by memory. And when I read this, I hear his godlike voice. He had a godlike voice, if you ever heard him or spoke to him. He had a very deep bass voice. But it says here, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. And some people have criticized him for coming by night, but just thanks be to God he got there. Amen. And when I found him, it was at night. No, the sun was shining, but it was a night in my soul. Amen. But how many of you know he works the night shift? Amen. And you can come to Jesus at 3 in the morning, or you can come to him at 3 in the afternoon. But as long as you get to him, amen. I just want to know if anybody got to him. Amen. He came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And really, if you tie verse 2 in, where he talks about the miracles, like we're thinking the miracles of the opening of the eyes of the blind, the miracles of the lepers being cleansed, you know, and then Jesus abruptly says a man must be born again. You've got to assume that what Jesus is saying, well, Nicodemus, you've seen the miracle of my opening the blind eye. You've seen the miracle of me unstopping the deaf ear. But Nicodemus, really, the greatest miracle of all is being born again. Amen. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot. Somebody say can't. Say cannot. Enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. Somebody say, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, here's what I want to hone in on. And by the way, I feel that wind blowing tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit breathing across this congregation and possibly across this live stream. The wind of the Spirit of God is dealing with people and moving in our hearts and moving in our lives. And Nicodemus, in verse 9, answered and said to them, how? Somebody say, how? How can these things be the mystery of the new birth? Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word of God. I thank you for the anointing. Give me physical strength, spiritual discernment, God. I pray that, Lord, you would remind us of Calvary. You would remind us of the truths of the new birth. And possibly those who may not understand or those who may be listening or listening later through CD or MP3 or video. God, let the miracle of the new birth happen. And we'll give you all the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty, and God bless you tonight. Tell them you're looking pretty. Amen. Praise God. Now let's give Jesus another hand of praise tonight. Amen. I want to start out by making a statement. Salvation is not, and when most people today in the current generation, when they think of salvation, in their mind, they're really thinking of self-improvement. And I want to tell you that salvation is not, in the sense of what the term we use it, the same as just self-improvement. A lot of people are trying to do better. They're trying to improve their life. Now, does that mean that when you get saved, you won't have self-improvement? You sure will. But it's got to be something that comes from the inside out and not vice versa. And the church said, amen. You see, people want to turn over a new leaf. They want to stop this and start that program. Maybe go on a diet. Maybe listening to an inspirational message on television from an evangelist. Or perhaps a quote from a life improvement quote or a self-help quote. But I want you to know what I'm talking about tonight is not just putting a little makeup on or trimming a little bit or having a little bit nicer out view of life. What I'm talking about is being totally, radically, completely, miraculously changed from the inside out. I'm talking about being what we old timers call being born again. You must have that fire and Holy Ghost with the prayer wheel turning that keeps the fire burning. That kind of experience you can feel makes you move, makes you shout, makes you cry. Why? Because it's real. I got my hand in the Master's hand, and my soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. I'm free from sin because I know that I've been born again. Anybody out there tonight been born again? Why don't you lift your hand to heaven like your preacher said this morning, and let's act like it. Glory to God. I've been changed. I didn't just go on a self-improvement class. I came to an old rugged cross. I came down a sinner, but I left up a saint of the Most High God. It's not what I thought up in my mind. It's what God did in my heart when He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've been born again. If you've been born again, would you give Him a standing ovation tonight? That's something to praise God about. That's something to run the aisles about. That's something to tell your neighbors at Best Buy about. I've been born again. Turn around and tell three people, I've been born again. Let me give you a little difference. Self-improvement is kind of whitewashing. But being born again is washing white. Come on. Self-improvement is putting on a new suit. Let's put it this way. Putting a new suit on the man. Nice new suit on the man. But being born again is putting a new man in the suit. Are you with me? Self-improvement is being born one time. But being saved is being born again. Somebody say amen tonight. Let me give you four things about the mystery of the new birth. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, before you can go to heaven, you must be born again. You must have a new birth. Can't be an old improved you. It's got to be a total brand new you. Now let me give you four things about the new birth. Number one, the necessity of it. The necessity. Go to John chapter 3 verse 7. The necessity of it. John chapter 3 and verse 7. He said you must. Say that word must. This is not an option. This is not, if I might think about it, get back to you. But if you die, it'll be too late. And there are people forever who've been so close to the kingdom of God, who the Holy Spirit has wooed upon them. And they've set in the seed and they've not responded to the altar. And they've had time after time and opportunity after opportunity. And what a dreadful day it will be when we stand before the Lord of the who's the judge. And shall not the judge do right? He's not going to wink you and say, it's okay, you're a good person. I'll let you slip in on good credit. He's going to ask one question, have you been born again? It's a necessity. It's a must. And why we have got it into the generation, my generation, I weep for many of the preachers, some of them raised in the fires of Pentecost, and they have taken on a model of preaching that does not confront, that does not boldly say, you must be born again. They'll come in the church, talk about nice things, say, we've got a pamphlet for you. But my friend at Westmoreland Church, we say this, flee to this altar. Don't leave this building until you've come to the cross, until you've been born again. Somebody say hallelujah. Not going to put it off to next week. We're not going to get back to you or get around to it. Now, you may put it off, but we're going to say boldly, and we're going to say with fear and trembling at the peril of your soul, at the peril of our standing before God to make sure our consciences are clear. We're going to present to you the truth that you must be born again. Now, why must we be born again? First of all, because of the nature of humanity. You see, it's the basic need of humanity. Look at Nicodemus. I mean, think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a rich man. We're told in history he was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. I did some studying. Some believe Nicodemus was the man, this is coming from Josephus and other writers, that he was a man who designed the waterworks for the city of Jerusalem. I did not know that. He was what you call a high roller. He probably had a chauffeur. He probably had many servants. He was a man who had quite a bit of material income. And yet, though he was a rich man, he was a poor man. And Jesus said to this rich man, your riches will not help you on the day of wrath. You must be born again. And just because you can go to bed tonight and you don't have to worry about paying the light bill, it's because you can go to bed at night and you don't have to worry about your retirement. You are set for life. You may be set for life, but are you set for death? Because death comes to all of us. And you may have everything in the barn, and you may say to your soul, soul, be at ease. You have much laid up. But thou fool, do you not know that at this very night your soul may be required of you? And what will happen to all of that if you've not been born again? Nicodemus was a rich man. He was a respectable man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was respected in the city. He was a rich man, a respected man, and he was a religious man. Now listen to me. Religious man. The Bible says he not only was a ruler of the Jews, but a teacher of the Jews. Jesus referred to him as a master teacher. He said, "Art thou not a master in Israel?" Go back to history, and it says he was the best known religious teacher of the land. He was the successor to one of the successors to the great teacher Gamaliel, him and Saul of Tarsus, as a matter of fact. And yet, to this religious man, Jesus said, "You must be born again." And I want to say something to you tonight. There's a lot of people who will embrace religion. They tell me things like this: "I do pray every day." They believe there are many ways to God. They are very moral people. They wouldn't be like Adolf Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer. And I mean, they're not going to go out and kill and do these things. They're outstanding citizens, and they have some religious beliefs and philosophies. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot go on a religious belief or philosophy or on what some book you've read, or what grandmother told you, or what Aunt Sally thinks, or what they say on the evening news. You must be born again. All the religion of the world will not help you, because really, it's not really all religion. Basically says this: all religion, I don't care if it's Islam, I don't care if it's Buddhism, I don't care if it's Shintoism, I don't even care if it's Wicca, satanic worship, all religion basically is this: you do good and you'll get God. You do a little better, you sacrifice in jihad, and guess what? If you do that, you're guaranteed heaven. Other than that, you might get it, you might not get it. You do so many good deeds, and if you'll just do good enough, God, when you die, he'll say, "Look at all the good things you've done, and you come on to heaven." That is religion, but that is false religion, because you do not do good to get God. You get God to get good. You cannot, in all of your good works, I cannot die this minute to stand before God and say, "In your name have I not prophesied, in your name have I not cast out devils." But that scripture always troubled me until God showed me what the problem was. They were standing before God and they said, "In your name have not I cast out devils, have not I spoke with other tongues, have not I done good things." And then I began to realize it was all about them. If I stand before God tonight, I can't say I preach so many sermons. If I stand before God tonight, I'll have to say, "God, there is no works I have done. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags. I fling to your mercy and thank you that you saved me," as Pastor says, "from the guttermost to the uttermost." Listen, you can go to hell in the slums, or you can go to hell strutting, but either way, you're going to hell if you're not been born again. He was a religious man. I heard about a man who was trying to witness to people and looking for people who he thought needed to know the Lord. And he saw this guy sitting on the park bench beside the road. And he looked at the guy, and the guy looked miserable. He looked sad. He said, "I'll go over there and witness to him. He looks like he needs Jesus." So he went over to the man. He said, "Sir, I've come to talk to you today about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and being born again." The man looked up and said, "Young man, you see that church right across the street?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "By the way, I want you to know, young man, I'm the pastor of that church." And know what the guy said back to him? He said, "Well, preacher, don't let that keep you from being born again." You can be the pastor of a church, deacon of a board. You could be a Sunday school teacher. And I know there are religious people who attend church Sunday. They put contributions in the offering. But somewhere in there, they've never, ever come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. You cannot just be a religious person. You must be born again, because we were born wrong the first time. Go to Romans 3 and 22. 3 and 22. "For there is no difference." That's the last part. You can go to verse 23. "For how many have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born wrong the first time. And that's why we need to be born right the second time. So why do we need? Why is the necessity of the new birth? Because number one, of human nature, we are born wrong. And not only of human nature, but of heaven's nature. Because the Bible tells us in John, go back to John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is what? Now, if you compare that with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, I know I'm going fast, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that what? Flesh and blood cannot..." So if you've been born, the nature of heaven, if you haven't been born again, then you can't fit in heaven. All right? Human nature, you're a sinner. Heaven's nature forbids sin. Heaven, listen, is a prepared place for a prepared people. If somebody says everybody's going to heaven, you know what that does to me? It depresses me. I do not want to walk the streets of gold with Osama bin Laden. I don't want to walk down and see Adolf Hitler and his long mustache around the corner. Would the person who raped your 13-year-old girl, who did not repent and did not ask Jesus, who died defiantly, who was proud of their rape, do you want to walk in heaven and stroll with them? Listen, God's justice and His holy justice, He is going to separate those who offend and those who have no desire, those who revel and love murder and love these things. God said, "Fine, I got a place for you, but it ain't going to be with my chillings, with my children. Brother and sister, we're going to that holy mountain." And Isaiah said, "None shall hurt nor offend in my holy mountain. Only the saved and the redeemed, only those who've been changed, only those who've been born again are going to share in that glorious place called heaven. The wicked will cease their troubling and the weary will be at rest." Thank God for heaven. Happy home above. Heaven with the saints above. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. I believe He set me on fire this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to heaven and I can't keep quiet about it. I know it's tough at work. I know it's tough. I go to Best Buy and I got to work with them. Some of them aggravate the life out of you. And some of them are not Christians and some of them are, they're good people, but some of them mean as the devil. And they mean to be mean. And I pray for them. And I witness to them and I love them. And I ask God to save them. But if they refuse salvation, praise God, I ain't got to put up with it no longer. Amen. Y'all all right? I mean, I don't want nobody to go to hell. But neither do I want everybody to go to heaven. Because there's some people that don't want to be in heaven. Hell to them would act, this is a thought. Hell to them would be heaven with us. It's already bad enough come election time. They can't stand us. They just soon, all of us Christians, just go to somewhere else. Well, guess what? We are. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise here tonight. If you're part of that chosen few. I heard about an old troublemaker who said to the pastor, "Pastor, what troubles me is how, when I get to heaven, how am I going to get my robe over my wings?" And the preacher shot back and said, "Sister, what's bothering me is if you get there, how are you going to get your hat over your horns?" Have you been born again? Listen, there has to be a change in nature in order for you to go to heaven. Heaven, and let me tell you, heaven, and by the way, heaven's not for the perfect, because I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. But I'll tell you what is perfect. The nature of God in me is perfect. I am a child of God. And what He's done, and when I became born again, praise God, I became in Christ righteousness. Amen. Somebody say amen. So number one, the necessity of the new birth, because of human nature, because of heaven's nature. And then let's talk number two about the mystery of it. Because look at verse 4. Now listen to this. Nicodemus said unto him, John chapter 3 verse 4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? So there's a mystery. Now, I can't really explain to you everything about being born again. I can't in words describe to you what happened to me when I got born again. Words are just not able to express it all. And if you've been saved like I've been saved, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's beyond words. And there is a certain mystery to it. But just because you can't understand it doesn't mean it's not real. We accept a lot of things that we don't understand, and there's no way to explain the new birth, but what can we compare it to? Well, we can compare it to the human birth, in a sense, because what happens at a human birth? Well, when a human baby is born, when a golf ball, and I love to play golf, but when a golf ball is created and it rolls down the production line and it puts in a box and it gets on the shelf at Dick's Sporting Goods and then gets into my hands and then gets out there at the golf course and I pull it out and get ready to knock it to kingdom come, hopefully. Amen. But before I hit it out, I hold that it's a creation, but it's not living. But when a human is born, and the baby comes out of the womb, and the umbilical cord is separated, and the doctor gives him the little pat on the back to get things going. You know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, what happens? That baby, and that little legs are kicking, and little hands are moving up and down. That baby is moving. Now, if the baby is not moving, and the doctor gives the pat on the back, and nothing happens, what do we call that? We call it what birth? Well, let me tell you, being born again is a lot like that live birth. Life comes out and there's a feeling, amen. But now, don't go by your feelings all the time, but certainly there is a feeling, amen. The woman felt in her body, amen. People say, well, we ought not to go by feelings. Well, we don't go by feelings, but praise God, we do have feelings, amen, somebody. And so you have life. Go to 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Just like when a baby comes out of the womb, listen, it sees things it never has seen before. It feels things it's never felt before. It eats differently. Listen, when that baby was in the womb, it ate differently, it saw differently, it felt differently. Amen? It's dark in there. Music didn't sound as good. All they heard was through the stomach. And now I'm just wanting to make you think about this, but when that baby comes out, woo, lights, music, feeling. Food, real food, amen. It's different. It's totally different. When you get saved, there will be a difference. You will have, the day before, you will have cussed out your wife. The minute you get born again and your wife gets on your nerves and you all of a sudden start saying stuff, you'll stop. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I thought I was saved. Well, you are saved, because 2 days before you just let it rip. Everything is changed. I don't go like I used to go. I don't act like I used to act. What happened to you? Did you turn over a new leaf? No way I could have done that. I'll tell you what happened. I went to an altar and I got born again. Life. Amen. People say they'll come back, they'll get saved on Sunday and Monday, a curse word will slip out. And they'll call me up and say, Brother Ricky, I thought I got saved and I said a cuss word today. And you know what I'll say? I'll say, well, you're crying about it, aren't you? Yeah. Did you cry about it before you got saved? You listening to me? The very fact... the fact that you say you are still a human and you have had 30 years of doing this stuff, and pastor is going to talk next Sunday about the next step, because as he has said, which I had never heard before, nothing is born clean. You got to be sanctified. You got to come back, and God will take the cuss out. Amen. Are y'all got me, with me? And it's a process and it's an experience. But the main point is, if you want to know the mystery of being born again, it is like when you were born the first time. There's life, and things are different. You didn't want to go to church. All of a sudden, you can't wait to get to church. And by the way, if you say you got saved, and you can stay home from church Sunday after Sunday, because you just have to work 6 days a week, and that's the only day. You didn't get born again, or you're backslid, and it's time to get saved. Amen. Saved people want to be in the nursery with the rest of the babies. Don't tell me, I don't know. Are you saved? Yeah, no, I know I'm going to go to heaven, but you can't go to church. You're telling me you're going to go to heaven at any moment, but you can't go to church one little old day, 1 hour or 2 hours a week. Something is wrong with that picture. Man, I didn't want to go to church, but when I got saved, you couldn't keep me out of it. Glory to God. What happened? Something changed in me. You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to read it. Now, you may not understand it, and you may fall asleep trying to read it. You've worked hard hours, but there's something in you that says, I want to read my Bible. Have you ever seen a newborn baby, you know, when they put the milk bottle up to the lips, go, all you got to do is put the little baby bottle up, and that baby's so happy. Didn't Brother Peter say, you as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word? I love gospel anointed preaching today more than I loved it when I first got saved. You want to make me happy? Give me a bunch of preaching CDs of some Holy Ghost anointed preaching, and it's like Weston sizzling buffet. I'll tell you what it's like. It's better than Cracker Barrel biscuits. Now that's saying something, ain't it? Every year they have these Southern Baptist preachers. They gather down in Jacksonville, Florida, at the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville. Now, I know they're Southern Baptist, and I know we're Pentecostal holiness. But I'm going to tell you something. They have about 15 preachers, and they get in that pulpit, and they preach heaven real and hell hot, and they preach get to the altar, and they preach the old time gospel message. I never hear them preach about once saved, always saved. Never hear that stuff. I hear the stuff that I used to, and you go to some of our preaching stuff, and I'm being a little critical, I am, and you're like, but let me tell you something. I don't care whether it's our folks or Baptist folks. I just love to hear the Word of God preached. Amen. I love the Word. I've been born again. And I'll tell you something else. You can't sin and not feel bad about it. I can't even have road rage. Somebody pulled out in front of me on the way to church this morning. I was coming down Packhouse Road, and right there at that is a division of a lot of mobile homes over there. Windermere is what it used to be called. And by the time you come around CCS Christian School, you know, and then you come around the corner where their main driveway comes out, and the car, all they had to do is wait just a second, and I'd be gone. And they just pull right out, and then they slow. And I wanted to blow that horn so bad. But something in me said, no, don't do it. Well, why not? Because you're born again. Now, I'm not saying if you blow the horn at somebody, that doesn't mean you're not born again. Every now and then, you're going to slip up. Amen. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm just telling you, things are different, so much different when you're born again. By your fruit, you shall know them. And I didn't say you're perfect, but there's a change. Does anybody say amen to that? And I'll tell you something else. When a baby's born, it's a definite experience. You don't have to ask any mother around here and say, well, did you have a baby? And they're like, you know what? It seemed like I did. No, I'll tell you the minute, the second. I'll tell you when I ran to the hospital. I'll tell you that I was in labor for 15 days and 36 hours. And I'll tell you it was everything I could. And finally that baby came and nothing's been the same since. Right, moms? You know what I'm talking about? It was a definite experience, and I'm going to tell you, I think I got born again. Let me tell you something. You will know something has happened. Can I get an amen? I'll tell you something else about a baby that's born. When a baby is born, the first time, all it has is a future. Think about that. When I was born on August the 9th, 19, all I had was a future. Amen. I didn't have a past. Because why? I didn't exist. Now let me tell you something. Brother Kyle, when you got born again, I'm talking about in the Lord. Now I know there's some things in your earthly past. And you too. I know you look holy. I'm going to pick on you. And we're going to go pick on Kyle. And sister, you too. You look so sweet back here. Preacher, I know before you got born again, and that I know you had a past. Jerry Nelson, I know you had a past because you were a Marine and you did what Marines do. You've said that. Amen. You probably cursed a few people out. You probably got in a few fights. And we'll go stop right there while we're good. But I'm just here to tell you, but the minute Jerry Nelson got born again, you only had a future. God said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Don't let what happened before you got born again come up and bring guilt and shame. And the devil said, you used to this and you used to that. You say, no, devil, that was the old me. I have been born again. I'm a new, well, glory to God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person. And all I've got before, it's not my past. It's my future. And my future is heaven. And devil, your future is hell. Give him another hand of praise here. You say you've messed up your life. You say you've done terrible things. I say you can be born again. Amen? You say, well, I was born a homosexual. I was born with feelings for the same sex. Well, you can argue all day with them if you want to. And you're not going to convince them. I mean, you and I both know that's not true. But let's just follow along. You were born gay, and you had these feelings. Well, guess what? It's not that you were born gay. It's that the gay can be born again. And the adulterer, and the heterosexual, and the drunkard, and all of us, the cheat, the lie, Sister Darnell, the gossip. Oh, yeah, the run your neighbor down. Amen. Come on, somebody. We just think it's homosexuality. But I'm here to tell you, if you run people down and you've got a critical spirit, you might not ever got born again to start with. Amen. Come on now. And I'm not talking about being, you know, we all are to be discerning and say things as they are. But I'm talking about your whole spirit. Everything changes. I wish somebody would say, there's been a change in me. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Not one person was born in this building that another person didn't suffer to bring you into this world. I say this, but my mother tells me. My sister, the morning she was born on January the 4th, 1982. I'll never forget the day my sister was born. I was 10 years old. And the night before, my mom was sitting on the couch, and I laid my head. I was only 10 years old. I laid my head. We knew it was coming. We didn't know it was a she or a he. We didn't have the, you know, gender parties like they do now with the ultrasound. And I remember laying my head on mama's stomach, and I remember feeling the baby kicking. And the next day was the first day of school after Christmas. And mama was up, She was on maternity leave at that point, and we knew it was any day, and I didn't know it was going to be that day, and I didn't want to go back to school. Oh, good gracious, we'd been out for 2 weeks. Hey, y'all with me? I remember getting on the bus, and about 11 o'clock, got the phone call. My daddy called. I was in Miss Faulkner's class. Miss Faulkner, and the principal said, or the secretary said, can you send Ricky Nelms to the office? I knew what it was. Everybody was like, what's he in? What's he done? And I went down to the office, and they said, you got a phone call from your dad. So I picked up the phone, and my daddy said, you got a little sister. And she literally, by the time they got Mama to the hospital, 45 minutes, my sister came into this world. And my mother will tell you that when I came into the world, it was like 12 hours. And I get reminded of that. But I don't care. When I came into the world, they didn't have epidurals. Come on now. When Jennifer came into the world, they had stuff to help. And now it's a piece of cake almost in modern world today. But the point is, somebody suffered. There was pain. There was labor. And you want to know how you were born again? On the old rugged cross, there was pain. And water came out of his side. And blood. And Jesus said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. The water represents his own physical death. And the Spirit represents the Spirit, the miraculous, mysterious Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, aren't you glad that he suffered and he labored to bring you forth? And I'll tell you something else. I'll go a little deeper than this. You know, we have to pray for people to be saved. And sometimes we have to labor in prayer. Paul even mentioned, I travail in Christ till Christ be formed in you. And Brother Philip, we got to labor to get these boys born again. Pastor, we got to pray and we got to do some laboring. We got to keep the church clean and we've got to make sure the restrooms are tidy. We've got to labor. We got to be faithful to the church when it's raining. We don't know, but one little sinner may come in here and that may be the day. It may be snowing outside and I understand we've got to be safe. But in a big city like London where they didn't have cars, they rarely closed down churches because people were literally could walk to church. And so one night it was snowing in London and just about 15 people were able to show up and the preacher could not make it. But somebody was there with the lights on. And one of the board members, the deacons, got up and said, I'm going to read a few scriptures. He was laboring for the Lord. And there's only been 15 people there. But in from the snow comes a teenager who nobody has seen. And he sits in the back row. And this deacon reads, Isaiah says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. And that deacon just took a few minutes and said how we need to look to Jesus. And we don't look to ourselves. And if we rely upon ourselves, we'll never be saved. And this little teenager realized that, hey, I have been trying to be saved. Why don't I just look to Jesus and let him save me? And that night, Charles Spurgeon walked the aisle, gave his heart to the Lord, and went on and built one of the greatest churches in Christian history because somebody labored, somebody prayed, somebody fasted, somebody said we've got to have people saved. That's what we're about. Amen. Somebody say amen. The mystery of it. And then finally tonight, the necessity of it. You must be born again. The mystery of it by the water and the Spirit. And how can a man be born that's old? And then finally, the possibility of it. You see, there are two sides to the new birth. Go back to John chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. I'm coming to a close. Y'all still love the Lord tonight? I'm not worried about that, but you still love me. Now, that I might worry about a little bit. If you're at John chapter 3, verse 13, say amen. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. Let's all read that great scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came down. There's two sides for the possibility of the new birth. The necessity, the mystery, and the possibility. The two sides. Number one is the divine side. He came down. Oh, glory to God. And He died on the cross. As the pastor preached this morning, that beautiful, moving story that I had never heard before. The slave girl being bought by the master. And when I was listening to that story, Brother Jerry, I was trying to figure out how you were going, you know, how it was going to end. And I thought, you know, that she, when you, the way you first told it, and then you came back and gave the other side, that she said, "I want to be His the rest of my life." You see, there are two sides to that. The divine side is Calvary. The divine side is Jesus coming down. But there's another side to being born again, and that is the human side. Now, this is referring to the story in the book of Numbers, and you've been reading your Bibles through. You've read through the book of Numbers already. And God's, in the book of Numbers, they begin to murmur and complain, and God sent fiery serpents, and it bit many of the people, and they were dying by the scores. And God told Moses, "Lift up a brass serpent on a pole." Are y'all with me? So you get bit by this serpent, and there's no medicine for it. But all you've got to do is look and find that serpent. And it was high enough that no matter how far you were in the camp, all you had to do was turn by faith and look, and you would be healed. Now, I'm just going to get to the punchline here. The divine side was God lifted up the snake. But the human side was you have to turn and look. There were those who got bit by the snake, who no doubt was told, "Just look. I don't believe in that stuff. No. Just take a look. No, I'm not. I need medicine. I need something else. Find me a doctor. Find me this," and they're dead. I'm sure there were mothers whose sons, teenagers, got bit, and they said, "Son, listen to me. Look to that snake. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't believe in your religion, mother." And they died, and how terrible that mother probably felt. My friend, I'm telling you, Jesus has been lifted high. He has died on that cross. Don't say that you're going to rely on your own medicine. Don't say you're going to do a little better. Don't say I'm going to quit smoking. And by the way, quitting smoking is a good thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But don't say, "Well, I'm going to stop this. In fact, I may even start giving a little bit to the Shriners." And I'm not saying that's bad either. I'm just telling you, you've got to quit using your own medicine. There is only one medicine. There's only one method. There's only one way. But you must look. You must come to Jesus. You must repent of your sin. You must fling all of your hope upon that snake, upon that Lord, that Savior who is lifted up. Aren't you? Would you lift your hands? He lifted up so that we could be lifted up from sin, so that we could be born again. And the possibility of it is yet. Yes, you can be born again, but you must come. You must make the step. You cannot make a bargain with God. You can't do a little better. You can't say, "Well, I'll come in a few weeks." Right now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the moment. Will you come to Jesus? Brother Clark, would you come and just get ready to play on the piano? Amen. Amen. I feel the breeze blowing. The wind's blowing, and you can't describe it. You can't really stop it. But that wind is blowing. There's one thing you can do. You can feel it. And I feel a breeze blowing in Westmoreland Church. I believe the Spirit of God is breathing through the live stream. I believe He's breathing through our witnesses at work. I believe He's still in the business of saving the lost. And I just want to ask you tonight, have you looked to Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? Now, let me just tell you what the word repent means. Repent means you renounce it. There's some people that say, well, I don't want to be saved because I like sleeping with my girlfriend. But let me tell you something. If you're willing to renounce that for Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And what you're doing right now will actually hurt you in the long run. And if you die that way, you will certainly be gone for eternity. So why is the pleasure for a moment going to keep you from the wonderful thing that God died for? Are you willing to turn from your sins? Now, I told you that, well, I'm going to do a little better. See, here's the thing. You've got to have God to save you, to allow you to turn from those sins. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? And if you've repented of your sins, just play very softly if you will. If you've turned from your ways, and if you'll just look to the old rugged cross, quit trying to do it in your own power. Say, Brother Ricky, I'm going to renounce those things, even though I know I can't do it on my own. I was born the first time, but I need to be born again. I want you to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I want you to open wide and say, oh God, forgive me for relying on my own medicine. Forgive me for putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Forgive me for playing pretend. Do you know there's some people who pretend they're saved, but they're really not. They, by their own fruits, have no desire, no difference, no purity, no passion for God. And if you're not sure that you're saved, I'm here to tell you He's offering to you salvation. He's offering to you a new birth. An old man can be born again and start all over. You can be 70 years old and be born again. Oh, God. Anybody here tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just because that there may be one person here tonight, or there may be one person listening, I want us to pray a simple prayer. And if you want to be born again, if you want to know Jesus Christ truly as your Savior, pray a prayer like this. And everybody pray it with me. I'm going to pray it and then you repeat it. Even if you're already saved, would you pray it as well? Dear Lord Jesus, I need to be born again. I can't do it on my own. I'm hopelessly and helplessly lost and in sin. I repent of my sin. I turn to you fully. By faith, not my feelings, but by your grace, forgive my sins. Forgive me of everything. Create in me a clean heart. I come to you with everything. I withhold nothing. And by grace, through faith, in the Word of God, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. My name is written. And my soul is saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Somebody shout it tonight. I'm saved. I'm saved.
Yes, Jesus.
Anybody here tonight saved? I tell you what I want us to do. As Brother Sister Wilson sang, I want you to do two things tonight. Really only two things you can do. Actually three things. Number one is get saved. So I know most of you are saved. I believe you are. So if you're already saved, number two, there's only two things you can do. Number two is to come and praise God for it. And then number three is to pray for somebody who needs it. Can we do that right now? We're a loving, growing church. bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Come on down. And I want you to thank God that you're saved. And I want you to thank God for Calvary. I know when you have a tough day on the job. And I know when there's more month than money. I know when people mistreat you that you get discouraged. But listen, be encouraged tonight. The Lord has saved you. He has a calling on your life. And one day we're going to be in heaven. And we may have been bitten by that serpent. But he's not got the last laugh. We're going to serve God. I want you to thank Him for it. And then number two, I want you to pray for that brother. I want you to pray for that sister. I want you to pray for that co-worker that you work with. God, I pray for my co-workers at Best Buy. That, Lord, these young people that I work with, let my light so shine, God. Help me to be very wise. And help me, Lord, to point people to the snake on the pole. To Jesus who died that cruel death on the cross of Calvary. I pray for my cousins that need to be saved, that are going to hell, oh God. Oh God, I pray for my neighbor who might be a Muslim. Oh God, I pray, Lord, for that co-worker that I work with. I pray for my uncles. I pray for my nephews, my nieces. I pray for my children and my grandchildren. Oh God, save my family. Save my children. Save Wilson, North Carolina, God. Let Westmoreland get a hold of this. This is serious business. Oh God, we may get discouraged and things may not go the way we want them to go. But God, help us to realize we're part of the kingdom of God. And we're serving you because we're born again. Come on and praise Him that you're born again. Oh, give Him glory. Shout it from the housetop. Don't be ashamed. I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches.
Oh yes! Untold. Aren't you glad you're born again?
I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led.
Let me ask you something.
His nails.
Hold on just a second. I want you to say these words. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Put Romans 1:16 up there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let's start at the beginning. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Every Christmas, when I gather with my family,